Aleppo is beyond devastated, suffering on a scale that brings shame to my membership in the human family. There is a rupture this week in a pipeline in North Dakota, not far from where the Standing Rock Sioux prayed and protected and resisted until the easement was built to build was denied. Team Trump has asked for the names of scientists at the Department of Energy who work on climate change. More and more families are touched by the opioid scourge, losing loved ones. There is a hellish increase in hate crimes against Muslims, against immigrants or people perceived as immigrants, against Jews, against people of color. These things are not far away. They are happening here. They are impacting people we know and love. In the past few months, I have met with many of you, and some of you have spoken about your generalized concern. You have a deep foreboding for what is to come. Some of you have entered my office full of fear, weeping for what the world is offering now. More than one of you has told me of your plans to leave the country. Some of you are worried not just about politics. You are worried about losing your health insurance. You are worried about losing your shelter. Some of you have family who have had hate directed at them personally. These are hard times, friends. Our humanist, Unitarian, Universalist theology, regardless of how you identify as theist or atheist or agnostic, it tells us that it is up to human hands, hearts, and bodies to bring about the change we want to see in the world, to be that which resists the injustices we see emerging. It is not up to some divine creature living in the heavens to do, and it is not up to someone else to do. It is up to us. It is up to you. It is up to me. Sometimes we do it as co-creators with the divine. We do it because we are the hands of God on this earth, and sometimes we do it because we are the only conscious creatures, and it's up to us. It doesn't matter what your theology is, what your spiritual beliefs is. Our humanist theology tells us whether we believe in an afterlife or not, it is up to us to build heaven on earth. So now more than ever, friends, it is time to build heaven on earth, which is just another way for us to honor our universalist roots, which you've heard me preach before. It is time for us to love the hell out of this world. We all bring different gifts, different temperaments, different energy levels to how that might happen. How loving the hell out of the world looks. Thomas Price conceived of what I call the four square framework of social concern, and UU minister Richard Gilbert, who wrote a book called The Prophetic Imperative, he added a fifth dimension. And these are by no means mutually exclusive categories, but you can see them on the cover of your order of service. So if you're a visual learner or thinker, you might want to look there. There is, in the center, the four are social service, social witness, social education, and social action. So social service is a charitable approach. It's direct service to those in need. Those who have experienced disaster, food baskets at holiday time, volunteering in the soup kitchen, like our monthly group here does at Elijah's Promise, which I have come to understand is our longest running social justice effort here, although I look forward to hearing from somebody when that started. The folks this morning didn't know exactly how long it's been going. There's social witness, and this is the public articulation of convictions on a particular issue. It could look like a denominational resolution. If you've ever been to General Assembly, you'll see them there. We support reproductive rights. We support Black Lives Matter. Those are denominational resolutions. It could be hanging a Black Lives Matter banner outside. Again, that is social witness, or hosting or attending a vigil or a demonstration like we heard about today in our story for all ages. It could be a sermon on a particular urgent topic of injustice. So that's social witness. The third square is social education, and like social service, it's pretty typical. Those two are the two typical ones that you'll find in UU congregational life, learning about social issues through the lens of tradition, of a religious tradition. You can do that in a class, you can do that in a sermon. The fourth type is social action, and this is where organized groups affect an effort on specific objectives, and we are lucky to have the UU Legislative Ministry of New Jersey, which we pay congregational dues to. You hear it sometimes when we do cash and basket. They work to affect change on the legislative level, but that's not the only form of social action available. Gilbert added his fifth, and you see it on the corners all the way around of community organizing, because he believes as a spiritual, as a religious community, that too often what we do is we respond to the injustice rather than the cause of the injustice, and that the way to respond to the cause and to prevent the cause is through community organizing. So there are those five types: social service, social witness, social education, social action, and community organizing. And if I were to ask which one makes the most difference, I'm going to bet that we'd have a cacophony of opinions here in the room, so I'm not asking. But I am honoring that there's a difference of opinions. What ones might not only bring about transformation in the world, but transformation in your heart? This is an important question for me, because to me, this is the distinguishing trait about doing social justice, not from a civic or secular point of view, but from a spiritual point of view, from the authority and strength and power of a religious community. The Spirit makes room for mutual transformation and for collective liberation. It is not a handout. It is a mutual highway of change. I wonder where you see yourself in any of those five categories. Where do you feel most comfortable? Oh, I love learning. Ooh, that's what I want to do. I'm an activist. And then I wonder where you might stretch yourself outside of your comfort zone. We, as a nation, and therefore as a denomination and as a congregation, are at a crisis point. And by crisis, I mean that intersection of emergency and opportunity. It calls us more urgently than ever before to engage in acts of social concern and to stretch our comfort zones. Just this week, the president of our Unitarian Universalist Association, Reverend Peter Morales, called on all of us to provide sanctuary and to resist. Sanctuary and resistance can have many manifestations. What do we imagine? How will we act if we actually hear that call? What does it look like here on this wooded lot in East Brunswick in central New Jersey? Now, this might be a hard question to answer here right now, because last month the Social Justice Committee suspended meeting as a committee. Basically, though there was social justice work happening and is happening here, Nobody or very few people were coming to the meetings and doing the organizing. You all have responded generously when there have been opportunities for social service. We've helped feed immigrant families at Thanksgiving time. The Giving Tree is also an act of social justice. Individuals continue to do their amazing things, and small groups as well. Your minister happens to be doing a little bit of social justice work too. But harnessing the power of the congregation is really hard when you don't have a force to coordinate. And the committee structure may not be the way to go. I mean, if you look at generational theory, the committee structure is really a dinosaur, and it serves kind of the baby boomer generation, of whom I am, you know, I love baby boomers. But it might not serve us as well as it used to. I am here to partner with you in these things, but ultimately it is up to you and how you want to respond as a congregation. From my limited and naturally skewed perspective, it seems that the focuses on social justice efforts here have been on social service and sometimes on social education. But that is not the only examples in your history. And in fact, a few of us this morning, we got together and we tried to create not a definitive list of things that have happened here. But I got a sense of your history more and what is going on now here. But I want to say, though I will join you in every way possible, it really cannot be just up to me. No minister has the power to dictate congregational culture, and I'm thankful for that. I have no wish for that kind of power. So while I welcome the opportunity to invite you into action, invite you, encourage you, even influence you, I seek to share a social justice ministry with you. On the day you called me, I promised that if you did call me, I would offer my ministry not to be with you as we looked inward, but also to help us move and look outward. So this is part of why, given what's happening in the country and what's dampening here, which doesn't make sense to me. You have a chance today in the service when Mike is playing his musical interlude to fill out a small, short survey. It's on the back of the responsive reading that you did. So you see there are four questions there. There's also a place for you to put your name. I don't want us to get into any habits of anonymous feedback, so please put your name on there. In fact, when I ask Megan to collect them, Megan, our office administrator, to collect them, if there's no name, I'm asking her to discard them. I feel that strongly about anonymous feedback. Towards the end of the service, during the prayer, you'll have a chance to answer and speak into and create a cloud of witnesses with the names of our heroes. So when you fill out this form, maybe you want to start from the bottom up. Maybe that's a metaphor for things that are needed to be changed. Just after the election, a friend and a colleague of mine, the Reverend Josh Pollock, reflected on the reasons people tell him why they come to church. And many of the answers he heard over the 18 years that he has been serving the congregation where he is, he's in Connecticut, are ones that I have heard from you in the nearly 5 months I have been here. My friends are here. I come for the community. I come for my children. I come for the music. I come because I feel connected, and this is a place where I actually can be my whole self. These are, of course, good answers. They are answers that warm a minister's heart. I can attest to that personally. But like Josh, I wonder, given the new reality that we are facing, if these answers are sufficient. Josh continued his observations on those answers. He wrote this: "What I don't hear in these answers is, I come to be sent forth. I come to be sent forth into the world to love my neighbor. I come to be sent forth to love the stranger, the immigrant, the homeless person, the hungry person, the prisoner, the person who just lost their job. I come to be sent forth to love my enemies. I come to be sent forth to bear witness to suffering, to oppression, to injustice. I come to be sent forth to be present to suffering, to comfort, to heal, to resist, to dismantle the systems that hold oppression in place, to build a more just and fair society. I come not simply to be reminded of my principles, but to be sent forth into the world to live my principles. I come to be sent forth." Josh concluded with these words: "Friends, I don't think I've ever quite understood this until now. The church is not serving you fully if it is not sending you forth into the world to live your principles proudly, resolutely, urgently, lovingly. The church is not a source of spiritual abundance in your life if it is not sending you forth." I think you believe, like I do, that Unitarian Universalism has something powerful to offer you and to offer the world. It always has, but right now more than ever. Some of you found this place, or this place found you, decades ago, and for some, it was just in the past few weeks. You have come and stayed, and sometimes come and gone and then returned, because you have found comfort here, community here, a sense of purpose and meaning in a world that offers few chances to go deep with such things. You have found hope when you have felt despair, either personal or worldly. My hope for you is that this place will send you forth to live your values, our values, out loud, and to do it even more. My hope is for this place and this people to proclaim who we are and what we stand for to the wider community and to those who may not even know, until they hear or see our message, that we are just what they have been needing all along, just what they need in this new reality. I have an image that I cannot get out of my head, and I need to share it with you. How many of you, when you've come in the past few weeks, have seen the "Love Your Neighbor" sign on the door or here on the bulletin board? So, because sometimes when you put things up and you just walk right past them, right? You know, you don't see them. So, for those of you who haven't seen it or haven't noticed it, it's a lawn sign that was created by a UU minister in the Twin Cities, and it says "Love Your Neighbor," and then it says, "You're black, brown, immigrant, disabled, LGBTQ+, religiously different, fully human neighbor." And this is the image in my head. I see a sea of them along the frontage on Tysus Lane. Not one. Not two and not three. A sea of them. I look down there. That frontage is pretty long, actually. And people drive on that road. Not always well, but they drive on that road. And I've imagined cars driving past and not stopping. I've imagined every once in a while a car slowing to take in the message. And some being cynical and saying, whatever. And some going, oh, that is just right. I needed to hear that. We have someone in the congregation who is willing to print them. Of course, it costs money. Everything costs money, it seems. But It's possible. You could get enough for Titus Lane. You could get enough so that you could take one home. And if you have a lawn, put it out there. If you have a window that faces outward, put it in the window. One by one, spreading the message of love and resistance in this new reality. Wouldn't that be grand? So whether your thing is social service or social education, social witness, social action, or community organizing, there is room and room enough and room for more for you to bring your full self. The world is calling you and your faith is calling you to add your gifts so that we might enter this new reality, living them out loud, bringing healing and wholeness to this broken world. Amen. So before Mike plays, I just want to give you some instructions. I think I kind of already covered it, but as he's playing for how many minutes? Oh, wow, I'm powerful. Let's go for 3 minutes. Let's do 3 minutes. This is the time for you to fill out that survey. And again, as I said, you might want to start at the bottom, naming your heroes, for we will have a chance after Joys and Concerns to be able to speak them into a cloud of witness. Thank you.